I'm Jennifer Castoldi from Trendees International, and today I am here with Maurice Ross, who is a New York-based attorney specializing in commercial, intellectual property, and patent litigation, and is a partner at Barton LLP. Thank you for joining us today.
It's very nice to be here.
So, you have a very impressive background. Do you care to share with our listeners a bit about yourself?
Well, I've been working in the field of intellectual property law for more than 30 years. I have been lead trial counsel at a number of well-known cases that have been tried in the federal courts in New York. I've also advised clients on a variety of strategic issues relating to branding, marketing, copywriting, music, film, entertainment. I've worked across a wide array of industries, including fashion, theater, entertainment, nuclear power, pharmaceuticals, and computers. So I've had a broad range of experience, and I hope that it will be useful for me to bring that experience during today's discussion.
Oh, excellent. We appreciate it. Well, today we're only going to pick part of your brain, focusing on art and design.
Wonderful. One of my favorite topics.
Excellent. So what types of intellectual property and intellectual property rights do you think are most applicable to art and design?
There are three main categories of intellectual property protections: copyright, trademark, and design patents. All three can have great usefulness, although I would say that in today's world, a trademark has become a very powerful tool for people who work in the areas of art and design and fashion. Copyright is also a powerful tool if handled correctly, but a lot of folks over the years have not taken the steps that they need to assure that they can enforce their copyrights.
And what constitutes a copyright in the U.S.?
Well, a copyright arises automatically in the United States for any new original work of art, music, film, and any original design is automatically protected by copyright. You don't have to register anything. You don't have to call up your congressman. You don't have to do anything. However, rather unique to the U.S. system, when you want to enforce your copyright, you can't do so until you register your copyright with the Copyright Office. Copyright registration is a prerequisite to bringing a lawsuit against someone. So as a practical matter, anyone who has a work of art, design, music, film that is worth money should invest the $35 to copyright it. Copyright registration is absolutely painless. It can be done online. I would say any sixth grader can learn how to do it with a little bit of instruction from an experienced lawyer. And you absolutely, if you're in the business of making products that have artworks in them, designs, you should consider registering your copyrights. There are many advantages for doing so, not the least of which is, you know, while I am New York-based and I appreciate the great city of New York, my practice is global in scope. And one of the main features of copyright that stands out from other types of intellectual property protections is copyright registration in one country has a global impact. And that's because there is a convention called the Berne Convention, which is a treaty. And the member states in the Berne Convention, I think there are more than 176 members, have agreed to honor each other's copyrights. So that means that when you obtain a copyright for your $35 in the United States, that $35 not only gives you protection in the United States, but it gives you protection worldwide, at least in about 170 markets. And all of the major markets that we care about are involved in this protection. I suppose the one market that is the most difficult to deal with is China, and it's an important emerging market. But even so, the Chinese are starting to recognize the value of protecting their own intellectual property rights, including rights in art and design and fashion. And so therefore, even China is a place where you can benefit greatly by getting a copyright registration.
So for the case of this podcast, we're working a lot with exhibitors and attendees to Certex, the show that's all about licensing and selling original art and design. Now, what you're discussing about copyright being automatic and then needing to register your copyright, registering your copyright, can you do that after you've shown something at a show, or does it have to be something that you do beforehand?
You can register your copyright anytime, okay? And once you register, you obtain the protections of the copyright law, including the right in to go and go to the right to go into federal court to sue an infringer. But you don't have to register in order to have copyright protection. Copyright protection arises automatically whether you register or not. The big advantage of registration is that until you register, you can't bring suit against somebody. That's the big advantage. Another advantage is that when you register your copyright, it provides evidence that you, in fact, are the owner of the original piece of art or the original design. It's a good way to prove that you are, in fact, the owner of that design. So if you show a piece of art at a trade show at the Javits Center and it's not yet copyrighted, you don't have to worry. You haven't lost your protection. Okay, you can still claim copyright protection, and you can still register. Now, there's one big issue, though, with regard to the timing of registration. In the United States, if you register within 3 months of the first date of publication, you get all kinds of advantages, all kinds of bells and whistles under the copyright law. And most importantly, you get two advantages. You get the right to claim statutory damages, and you get the right to attorney's fees. This is a big deal. Okay, what are statutory damages? Statutory damages are a substitute for actual damages. And as you know, when you have a piece of art or a decorative design, sometimes the actual damages from somebody who downloads or steals a copy of your picture or your artwork is relatively small, a few dollars, a few hundred dollars. But in order to deter copyright infringement, Congress has a scheme of statutory damages. And the scheme works like this. For any work that is found to have been infringed, that work will entitle the copyright owner to statutory damages of between $750 at the very least and up to $30,000 per work. Moreover, if the infringement is found to have been willful, that is intentional and in bad faith, the damages for each act of infringement can go up to $150,000 per work. So you can imagine that if you own 10 photographs or 10 pieces of art that you display at a show and then somebody infringes on those 10 pieces of art, you could have damages of up to $1,500,000. That's a big deal. And that's a big deterrence against infringement. However, you're only entitled to seek those damages if you register within 3 months of the first date of publication. I'll come back to what that means in a second. In addition to those statutory damages, the prevailing party in a copyright case may be awarded attorney's fees. And that's a big deal because the attorney's fees in a copyright case can be in six figures. Hundreds of thousands of dollars are not unusual. And so not only does the copyright owner have the potential to obtain an award of statutory damages, but also the copyright owner can get attorney's fees of the amount that it is required to expend to vindicate its position. So the United States has a scheme of statutory damages and attorney's fees that is very friendly to copyright owners if the copyright owners use it correctly. But the big problem is that copyright owners often forget to register within 3 months of the first date of publication. Now, what is publication? I am litigating a case right now in federal court where the issue is whether posting something online on a website constitutes publication. The courts are divided on that issue, believe it or not. Some courts say that a mere display on a mere display of a photograph online is not publication. The law says that a mere display at a show, let's say you display a painting at an art exhibit or in an art gallery, that mere display does not constitute publication. Publication has been a term of art that means when an author decides to publish it in a medium of expression that allows consumers to purchase it, to somehow get their hands on a copy of it and possess a copy of it. Merely displaying a copy of a photograph at an art gallery does not necessarily constitute publication. Now,
May I interrupt you for a moment?
Go ahead.
How does this apply for, say, a designer who is showing their art at a show for a potential manufacturer to purchase the rights and then put it on a product?
Okay. Traditionally, the better view is that if you simply show your artwork at the Javits Center, and you have a booth and you display it there, and all you're doing is showing it, you are not publishing it, if that's all you're doing. However, if during that show you offer to sell that design to someone, or you offer to someone to have the rights to distribute that, or you have a form that says, you know, you can buy this for us for a royalty fee or for a license fee, if you go beyond mere display but actually offer to sell it, that constitutes a publication. Okay? I would say that since most people who display a piece of art at the Javits Civic Center are hoping to find a customer and are hoping to find somebody to invest in that piece of art or invest in that design and use it. Therefore, I would always err on the side of safety, and I would take the position that a display like that, together with an offer to sell or an offer to distribute, constitutes publication. Therefore, when you first display your work of art at the Javits Civic Center, I would recommend that you copyright that work within 3 months. After all, the cost should be relatively minor. It's currently $35 per work. You can also, by the way, for a slightly higher fee, copyright a group of works as a collection. So, for example, you can have 100 photographs and simply pay one fee and copyright all of them. The problem with, of course, doing that is you may not be entitled to 100 separate statutory damages. You may only get one. So it may limit your damages, but it is a cheap way of protecting a collection of artworks.
So in a nutshell, copyright is automatic. There's added value to register that within 3 months of showing it in a public venue. And for the example of an artist who is displaying their original designs at Sirtex, once they sell this commercially, does the copyright get transferred automatically to the company that's purchasing the work?
It depends on the terms of the transaction. For example, the traditional rule is that an artist who sells a painting does not transfer ownership of the copyright when he sells the painting. The person who buys the painting gets to possess the painting. It may even be the original, but the artist owns the copyright. So too with designs and artwork of any kind. If you want to transfer the copyright, you have to have an express written agreement that does so. If all you do is sell a copy of your design, you're not transferring the copyright. And a lot of unsuspecting people who go to a trade show and buy a design may think that they have purchased the copyright as well as the right to use the design. That's not necessarily the case. This is a very important issue from the point of view of the designers and the artists who have these works to sell. And the reason is this: if you give someone the copyright on your design, as well as allowing them to use your work, you are also giving that person the right to make what we call a derivative work. And they could take your design and combine it with other elements that might tarnish your reputation, or that might be such that your design will become less valuable because of the combination with other designs or other works of art. And so the reason copyright owners try to maintain ownership of their copyright is so that they can assure that they control how their designs are used in the future. And that helps them control the value or maintain the value of their original work so that they can continue to sell that same design to others.
And how does licensing play into this whole situation?
Well, normally when you grant someone the right to use your artwork or design, you're granting them a license. And licensing is at the heart of what we as intellectual property lawyers do. Every transaction where someone grants a third party the ability to use intellectual property rights, such as copyrights, is a licensing transaction. And so one of the most important things any business person in the world of arts and design needs to understand is the basics of licensing and what a licensing agreement looks like and how to draft a licensing agreement and how to work with your counsel to make sure the licensing agreement meets your business objectives. On all of these matters, when a lawyer works with a client, the first thing the lawyer needs to do is sit down with the client and understand in some detail the business objectives of the client. What does the client want out of its licensing program, and how does that impact its overall business? And after having an understanding of the client's business and the client's objectives, the lawyer can then counsel the client on the issues such as those we've been discussing. Do you want to transfer ownership of your copyrights or not? Is there a reason you want to maintain ownership of copyrights? If so, we have to draft the license agreements to reflect what you want to do.
So it sounds like intellectual property is quite a complex field, and you are certainly an expert.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I welcome the opportunity to speak with any of your colleagues at any time. Thank you.